kitchen fair, I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Fireside Chat with David James. Well, hello. It's good to be with you again. And this time we will discuss something through the biblical lens. This isn't anything to do with the Jewish lens, believe me. However, it does take part in it, because the main verse of this whole thing deals with the Pharisees and the scribes. I was speaking with a friend yesterday, and I was telling him that it is my job to clarify the scriptures and make it more simple for you to understand and to apply in your own lives. And it's very important. And somehow the Father has given me the gift to be able to do such a thing. So, I was talking about the fact on an earlier Saxon's Creed, how I had read this scripture, and I'll read it to you now. And I had probably read this scripture, I can't even tell you how many times. I mean, I don't know, 600 times. I can't remember what I even said to him. Some you know, crazy amount of times I've read this scripture. And that's all I can really say number-wise. And I began to laugh when I read it this time on the show. Because I never got it before. And then I got it. And all of a sudden, the Father just opened it up to me. And the scripture is Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now listen. On all those times I had read this before, I had said to myself, oh my God, then who's going to get into heaven? How could my righteousness ever exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, these high, holy leaders? Well, I mean, at the time I didn't know about the Jews, and that the Jews were Pharisees, and many of them were scribes, of course, as well. And, you know, they have to have Coke and Pepsi, Burger King, and you understand? So you had to have scribes and Pharisees, you see. But I said to myself, well, who's going to enter? I mean, a lowly dog, you know what I mean? I'm a lowly creature. These scriptures tell me I'm a lowly creature. And I was in bondage, so to speak, over things like scriptures just like this. Saying, well, then who can get into heaven? But when I read it, see, the next time there on the show, I began laughing my head off. I mean, it was so amusing to me. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, you see, the scribes and the Pharisees don't have any righteousness, or very much at all, because of who they were. You see that the Pharisees were not happy when Christ healed people, right? The scribes and Pharisees wanted to see a sign and all these different things. They didn't believe. And believe me, it talks about Abraham being accounted as righteous because of his belief. All right, that's not the only way to become righteous. Now, righteousness is... our righteousness is as filthy rags, as you must have heard many times. So then how can your righteousness describe that the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Well, remember that they were whitewashed sepulchres, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. In other words, it's all a show with these folks. They wanted the highest seats in the synagogue and in the meeting places and so on and so forth. So what I, while I was laughing, was because my righteousness comes from Yahweh. That's not the only way I am ascribed righteousness, though, I will explain to you. However, it's his righteousness that covers me in white. And that's what you will understand. In other words, these Pharisees did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they weren't accounted righteous because of belief in him. They didn't believe in him. So, naturally, he was telling you that the Pharisees and scribes really were not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you think about what I'm saying, does that mean every scribe and Pharisee? Probably not. Maybe there were some righteous people that did believe in Jesus in those sects. Well, the Apostle Paul eventually did. And in the scribes, I can't say as much as I could say about the Pharisees. But the Pharisees went out in the end, and the scribes went the way of goodbye, you know. So, I began to laugh because it was proving to me yet again that Jews don't go into heaven. I never would have guessed that. You see, one thing I will explain to you is, if you don't know that you're an Israelite and that you are the offspring of Yahweh as a man that's able to blush, an Adamic man or woman, when you read these scriptures, you can often put yourself down, let's say. You can say, well, you know, I'm such a lowly, you know, I'm not good, no one is good, no one has come, everyone has come short of the glory of Yahweh, etc., etc. And when you know that you, when you find out eventually that you are the offspring of Yahweh and that you are an Israelite, you don't look at the Bible the same way, or the Book of Books, the Testament, the whole Testament. It's one Testament. You begin to, I don't mean you begin to be proud, I just mean you begin to understand that the Father is your righteousness. You know, people say, well, how did you come to this, to find out what you found out? Well, one of the main ways was, I was reading about the temple in the Book of Revelation, and it was the, there were four gates. And it said that only the Jews, I thought, at the time, were going to be allowed in there, and all of the rest of us were going to be outside. And I prayed to the Father, and I said, Father, why would the Jews be able to go into those places, but I'm a second-class citizen? Well, once I asked him that question, it wasn't long before he answered. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you can have a very wrong look at the way scriptures are until you know who you are and who the Jew is in scripture. Most Christians don't know that the Pharisees are mostly Jews. The Apostle Paul wasn't a Jew. I proved that to you already because the Apostle Paul was a citizen of Rome, and no Jew could be a citizen of Rome. So there were obviously some Israelite men that were brought into the Pharisee sect, just like our government. You know, it's the same thing today. It's the same exact deal. And so that's what it means. So, in other words, when you turn this around on its head and you say, oh my God, I didn't realize what that really meant. Now, righteousness has to do with your belief, and already you've got more righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees because you believe in Jesus Christ. But there's more to the righteousness, of course. And I shall show you these things. I just really think it was funny because it was when he was speaking to this. These are the words in red, by the way. He was speaking it to the Israelite people. But he was really giving a message to the scribes and Pharisees at the same time. It was, you know, a left-handed, you know, boom. You know, it's like they were listening and they got upset about it, what he said. Okay? And so that's something to think about. Let's look at the word righteousness. And maybe you would ask yourself, these other people that claim that they're the seed of Abraham, like the Jews and the blacks. Let's see if you see these qualities in them. This is the definition of righteousness, and I'm sure there's many more definitions, and probably you should seek into that. Okay. So it says, righteousness, noun, the quality of being morally right or justifiable. We had little doubt about the righteousness of our cause. Synonyms of righteousness, goodness, virtue, virtuousness, uprightness, decency, integrity, worthiness, rectitude, probity, morality, ethicalness, high-mindedness, justice, honesty, honor, honorableness, innocence, blamelessness, guiltlessness, folks. You're not supposed to be guilty of anything. You're supposed to keep yourself clean. Irreproachability, sinlessness, saintliness, I don't know that word, saintliness, purity, nobility, noble-mindedness, piety, piousness. Now, this is something, are the Jews good? Do they have a lot of virtuousness? Do they have virtue? Are they upright? Are they decent? Do they have integrity? Do they have worthiness? How about honor? How about justice, Jewish justice? How is that? How about morality? How about innocence? But are they blame? Do they have blamelessness? Blamelessness? No, they're to blame for many, 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 many things. And this all goes for the blacks, too. You know what I mean? So, no, they're not the seed of Abraham, and they're not righteous. And the Jews don't believe in Jesus. Many of the blacks don't either. They believe in voodoo and other crazy gods. But, you see, just you are accounted righteous just by believing in Jesus. That's the point. Now, if we look at some of the scriptures with the word righteousness in it, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you can be instructed in righteousness. That was 2 Timothy 3:16. Listen to Titus 3:5, because this will show you by Scripture that also righteousness can be by works. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness. There are works of righteousness. Did you know that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Works of righteousness. So yes, you can be given righteousness through your works. But the righteousness that the Father gives us, that we get from him, because our righteousness really is as filthy rags, supersedes our works righteousness. Okay, that may sound funny to you, but that's really the truth. Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore Yahweh, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let's see, there's so many. James 1:20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, of Yahweh. Here it is again. This is James 2:23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. Well, the friend of God, it says. Okay, I've changed these back to Yahweh because they changed it from Yahweh, from God to Yahweh to God, and we like to correct those things. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's James 3:18. Do the Jews and blacks make peace? it's not meant to be. It's just such a joke to even think that the Jews or the blacks make peace. It's just, just to say it, it's a justifiable laugh, you understand, because it's so bad. Of course you know it's true. First Peter 3:14, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Second Peter 2:5 says, "And spared not the old world, the Father spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now listen, Second Peter 3:13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Yes, that's what's to come. The law has righteousness in it, it says in a scripture too. Let me go and see. We're on 10 here. Let me go to 11. I remember I read that. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." That's 1 John 2:29, and the previous one was 1 John 1:9. First John 3:10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, or of Yahweh, neither he that loveth not his brother." So if the Jews are not doing righteousness, if they're doing everything the Father hates, which they are doing everything the Father hates, then they are not of God. You have heard that many times. He said, you cannot hear my words because ye are not of God. Of Yahweh, we change that too though, okay? You see, because he that knows my voice follows me. In other words, when he spoke, the disciples just came. Sometimes when we tell people about the truth, they know the voice of Yahweh. They know it's not that your voice is the voice of Yahweh, it's the scripture. "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh." You understand? So if you're looking in the world and you see, you just have to read 1 John 3:10. "In this, the children of God, the children of Yahweh, are manifest." In what? "And the children of the devil are also manifest." In what? "That whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that loveth not his brother." 1 John 5:17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Very interesting. Here's what it says about Revelation 19:8. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, can you imagine the liberals today? Oh, that's racist. It's clean and white. Oh, my God. Well, you'll have to get right up there and see if you can, with your signs, and start protesting that. We'll see where you will end up, you filthy, dirty things. Unbelievable. And I, Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Oh, a racist horse? See, that's a bunch of crap, and we've got to stop this nonsense. We can no longer allow them to say we're racist or any of this nonsense. That's over with. We don't accept it. We reject it in the mighty name of Yahweh. So, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. See, in righteousness you judge. So Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Again, let me refresh our memories. If you are the servant of righteousness, you would be the servant of being morally right or justifiable. You would have goodness, virtue. You would have uprightness, decency, integrity, worthiness, rectitude. You'd have morality, probity, ethicalness, high-mindedness. See, they'd tell you high-mindedness was a bad thing, wouldn't they? See, the world likes to play, especially the Jew. It is the Jew who's doing this, is trying to twist words around and demonize these words. If you were a servant of righteousness, you would be a servant of justice, honesty, honor, honorableness, innocence, blamelessness, guiltlessness, irreproachability, sinlessness, saintliness, purity, nobility, noble-mindedness, piety, or piousness. You see, they tell you pious is being bad too, isn't it? You wouldn't want to be high-minded because you'd have good confidence in knowing who you are in this world. And knowing, I don't mean high-mindedness as far as like ego, but high-mindedness in the way we think. Let me explain something to you, if you don't mind. What's taken place in this world, why you're seeing white people looking so bad at this point, I mean physically, morally, etc., etc., is because now the many, not all, but many white people have been brought down to being two-legged beasts of the field. You see, in the attempt of them thinking they're having a good cause, trying to bring the beast of the field up to them, what they've done, and being equal and all that stuff, what they've actually done is they've brought themselves down to being equal with the beast of the field by going down, not bringing them up. That's what communism promises. That's what many of the Jews' filthy demonic doctrines promise and do. See, it looks like something else, but when you see it in reality, you see it for what it really is, and it doesn't translate properly. Let's look at some more Listen to this, Romans 8:4. that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Righteousness of the law. Does the law have righteousness these days in the courts of the black-robed satanic priests of Baal? Is righteousness ascribed in the courts of Germany and the UK, etc., etc., etc.? The Saturnalian robes they wear, these priests of Baal, they're not righteous. And truth is no defense in their courts, which shows you truth is part of being righteous. Romans 9:31 says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Now, he's not speaking about Israel today. He's not speaking about Jews. He's speaking about the Israelite people. Now, you can see this, Romans 10:4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So they believe that the law is over, but that's not what that's saying. It didn't say it was the end of the law. It said it was the end of the law for righteousness, because he has become our righteousness, you see. That's why if you believe in Christ, it is ascribed to as righteousness to you in. Of course, your righteousness would exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. I believe I was referring to the Sadducees, that sect had ended. Excuse me, I wanted to correct that. It was the Pharisees. These are your Burger King and your McDonald's, your Coke and Pepsi, etc., etc. Scribes are teachers. But scribes are also somebody that records in a book. But they did the same thing. Now, you must have had scribes that were Pharisees, and you must have had scribes that were Sadducees, I'm sure. Now, again, Romans 10:5. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Now, Romans 10:6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down from above." Very interesting thought. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." See, there'll be peace in the Father's kingdom. And this is what we lack in this filthy world, where we're promised peace on a daily basis, but all we have is war. Now listen to this. By 2 Corinthians 6:7, "By the word of truth, by the power of God," or I should say by the power of Yahweh. Let me start that again. "By the word of truth, by the power of Yahweh, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left." the armor of righteousness. So what it's telling you is that the righteousness that you believe in Christ is part of your armor of righteousness, but also your good works that you do, your righteous works that you do, are also part of the armor of your righteousness. Second Corinthians 6:14, you've heard this many times. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, there's your first thing that we can talk about. Christians do know this scripture very well, and yet they're unequally yoked with Judaism. Judeo-Christianity. It's two priesthoods that are the antithesis of each other. They're unequally yoked because Judaism is darkness and unrighteousness. I promise you, if you look in the books of the Talmud, you will not find righteousness there. You will find unrighteousness. You will find the twisting of scriptures. You will find every evil thing that you can imagine. You will find sickness in the Talmud. You will become sick to your stomach when you read these things. You don't become sick to your stomach when you read the scriptures of righteousness. And so, the same way in the Catholic religion, it's another unequally yoked priesthood. You've got, see, believe it or not, Judaism is paganism. And so, Judaism, again, you've got paganism and Christianity mixed in the Catholic Church. It's the same unequally yoked thing. Well, you say, well, no, that's not true. The pagans believe in Jesus. Oh, do they? You think they do, right? Or how about in Judeo-Christianity? The Jews don't believe in Jesus. So why would you... They are unbelievers, correct? I mean, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the son of Yahweh, or just as Adam was really the first son of Yahweh, he's the son of man, really, he calls himself. You don't believe he's God come in the flesh, then you are an unbeliever. If you don't believe he's the Messiah and that he rose from the dead, you're an unbeliever. Well, Jews do not believe in that. And Judaism does not believe in that. So therefore, by 2 Corinthians 6:14, immediately I know that something's wrong with Judeo-Christianity because it's unequally yoked with a satanic, dark, unbelieving, so-called religion. So what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Are the Jews righteous? I asked you that question. If you don't know, go back and listen to this show again, and you will see if you have an objective look, you'll know that the Jews don't have righteousness. They not only don't have the righteousness of faith and belief in Christ, but they don't have any good morality. They don't have honesty. They don't have true justice. They don't have any of the qualities that you have and are supposed to have. So if you've, you know, yoked yourself with paganism in the instance of the Catholic Church, or you've yoked yourself with Judaism, which is the same thing, because the books of the Talmud are all pantheism and pagan elements. then you're unequally yoked. And you're unequally yoked with unbelievers and the unrighteous. And as the scripture says, what communion has light with darkness? They can't exist together in the same at the same time. You understand what I mean? They have no relationship with one another in the sense of the, you know, light and darkness at the same time. One has to give to the other. Listen to this, okay? Works of righteousness. Let's give you an example. 2 Corinthians 9:9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Second Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he says in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What he's saying is what I told you before in the scripture, that once Christ came, the righteousness of the law was ended. The law was not ended. Because why would I say the law is not ended? It's very simple. That would mean that you don't have to, let's go back to the definition. That would mean that you don't need to have goodness or virtue or uprightness or decency or integrity, etc., 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 etc. Justice, honesty, honor, honorableness, you get it? Morality. Then you could just do what you wanted. But that's not the case, folks. You can't just do that. In other words, your righteousness was now come from Yahweh. And that righteousness, because of your belief in him, even as Abraham believed in God, or let me read it again, Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, see, that's the precursor to what happened now. Our belief in Christ has accounted righteousness to us because of our belief in him. And so the righteousness of the law, you know, doing the works of the law to become righteous is no longer needed in the sense of the righteousness, not the law. You need to still obey the laws. Because the law is good. The law has righteousness in it. I hope that's not confusing to you. It's just that now your righteousness comes by grace through faith. He has become our righteousness, you see? And our filthy rags have been traded for clean white linen, and it's because of him. It's the very reason that the 24 elders would take their crowns that they had received and thrown them before the throne of Yahweh. Because those without Yahweh, those crowns, there are no crowns to them. All of it is accounted from him. See, doesn't that make sense to you? See, now listen. It just means that if I was trying to get to heaven by the law, by obeying the law to the T, that's not enough. Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You understand? You must go by him. Nobody comes unto the Father but by me, saith the word of God, saith Yeshua. So if you obeyed the law to the T, it would do you very little good because Christ has now satisfied the law when he died, and there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. I hope this makes sense to you. So we as people of Yahweh would just want to obey the law. We would want to have good fruits. We would want to have good morality. So it wouldn't be something that was hard for us to do. We'd still believe, we'd still ascribe to the law and obey the Ten Commandments. Right? It's just that we wouldn't be bound. What he was saying about the righteousness. Here again, Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 5:9 says it. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, you're not going to obey the law to get to heaven. You couldn't say, well, I did all these things. I did. Remember, there was a man that said, I've lived by the law since I was a young man. And he told him to sell everything and follow him. See, what he was saying was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Though you've obeyed the law to the T, you don't have the righteousness that is given by my blood being shed, he said. You understand? That's what he's saying to you. That's wonderful that you obeyed the laws. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And that's it. If any man come another way, he is a thief and a robber. You see, if you came by the law, you'd be a thief and a robber. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But yet, the law has not been abolished. It's just the need to do the sacrifice, the shedding of the blood to atone for your sins. That's all gone. You no longer need to do that because there has been one sacrifice that has been done for all time. You don't need to do it anymore. Notice how the Jews who are the unrighteous want to set up the temple and bring the red heifer in, and they want to start the sacrifice all over again. Because if you do that, you're just saying that Christ did not die on the cross. You're saying that Christ did not rise from the dead. You're saying Christ is not the Messiah, etc., etc. You can't be yoked with somebody like that. And they think that they're going to come into the kingdom of heaven by reinstituting the sacrifice and living by the law. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. You can't just do it by the law or by yourself. Remember, I told you about we are reflections of Yahweh. That when you see the sun in the sky, and then you see the sea, and there are little waves and little things and little reflections all over the sea, those little reflections come from the sun and the light. But those reflections have no light of their own. They are reflections of the light and the sun. In the same way as the Father is that light. And we have a light in our body, in our skin, in our blood. And our righteousness is a light to the world. But it's all, it's not a righteousness of our own. It's not a light of our own. It comes from our Father. And that's the best way I can explain it to you. But you wouldn't want to, if you loved the Father and you loved righteousness, you would want to have all those, you would want to obey him. He that loveth me and obey me, shall I, he says, you know, many, many times, right? So in other words, obey who? Well, the righteousness is in the law. Truth is in the law. His word, that's what he means, if you obey me. So of course you'd want to obey, and you wouldn't want to take your neighbor's wife, or you wouldn't want to covet your neighbor's things, or you wouldn't want to steal off your neighbor, or you, etc., etc., etc. This is a complicated thing, the way Paul puts it, but the way I've just described it to you, I think it should be pretty clear to you now. At least I hope it is. I know when I read it in times past, it was confusing to me. Okay, let's look at a few more. John 16:8 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." Acts 10:35 says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." How many nations are doing righteousness now? Is America doing righteousness in the world? Would you say America is righteous? I would say no. Listen to this. Acts 13:10. And said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteous, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of Yahweh?" Let me just pop over to that if we can. That was 13:10. Let me just go to 13 and look at it. Well, let's read it from right there, okay? We don't have much time, but "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger." Niger. "And Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to Yahweh and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Ghost said that, you see? Very interesting. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of Yahweh in the synagogues of the Jews." "And they also had John to their minister." Now, I would think those meant the, I don't know, but I'll bet you that was Judea and it wasn't Jews. There was no word Jews then. But neither here nor there, I'm going to go on from there because that's not what I wanted to focus on. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. Oh, geez, no, another false prophet, a Jew? Whose name was Bar-Jesus. Get it? Bar-Jesus? You know, to bar somebody would be put them away, you know, bar them, keep them from me. Which was the deputy of the county, of course. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of Yahweh. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so in his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeing to turn away the deputy from the faith. So we need to know what this word E-L-Y-M-A-S means. Because so, it says, for so in his name by interpretation. So we'll just see if we have the time to look that up real quick. I don't know how much time I have. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety, this most subtle beast of the field, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of Yahweh? And now behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of Yahweh. Now, you see that Paul knew that this was a Jew. And Paul was not a Jew. And he called this Jew, O full of all subtlety. Who's the most subtle beast of the field? The Jew. The offspring of Cain. I mean, the offspring of the unholy union in the garden, which was Cain. The most subtle, Yahweh called that angel, or the devil who had sex with her, the most subtle beast of the field. He didn't call him a man or a woman. He said he was a beast of the field. That doesn't mean he was a snake. He was a two-legged beast of the field. So Paul said to this Jew, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, hello. Thou enemy of all righteousness, hello. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of Yahweh? Well, let me ask the Jews of today, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou children of the devil, thou enemies of all righteousness, will you Jews not cease to pervert the right ways of Yahweh even today? Quickly, we don't really have any time. Yes, it says Elymas. I don't know if I have time for this, but I'll get back to you on it. Acts 13:8 says Elymas the Magus, for so his name is translated, opposed them. Elymas is possibly derived from the Arabic Alim, learned or wise, like serpent, and may be used to translate Magos. Bar-Jesus means son of Joshua, son of Jesus in Aramaic. Okay, I suppose I have to leave now. And before I do, let's just look up the word bar. Of course, Bar means son of, but definition. A straight piece of wood or metal that is longer. Okay, a solid piece of block. Something that obstructs or prevents passage, progress, or action. Such as, in the law, the destruction of an action. Of course, they're legitimized by the bar, these lawyers, right? So there's many different meanings to this word bar. I remember in a cartoon they had Simon Bar Sinister, son of Sinister, right? I guess. Anyway, it's been wonderful speaking with you today, and I hope that you will study these things for yourself so that you'll know them in your own heart and so that the word would live in you. Yahweh bless you.
The edge of day, engaged in play, I've walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain, the heart on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. Stop working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just